Final hour fist pump time. That sounds better than mine. Sean Treif, RJ Choppy, Cowboys Insider Bobby Belt. We got Carter Freeman, and Ruben is getting the lights on the fan cam, Twitch, and YouTube. Day one, show one from Oxnard. We're getting set to sit down with Kair Elam in the Wild Fork Foods hot seat. How we feeling? 3 a.m. wake up call. Bobby stayed out the latest. Went to the extra bar with the Nosebleeds. Brian brought us some members of the Cowboys staff. Choppy and I went home after the second
cuddled
bar.
Yep, cuddled.
So not the way you were having things leave your body.
Oh, baby, that's right. I had some. I had some of the Renus, yesterday.
The Renus?
The Renus, yes, the Renus. I had some of that.
Ceviche got you?
Ceviche got me. I thought I was going to miss the show. I had the chills. I had complete diarrhea. And I went to bed. I was like, I'm going to bed. I don't know if I'm going to wake up in the middle of the night. And these are white sheets. This is very dangerous when you've got diarrhea. But I woke up, and I feel as rested as I ever have out here.
Well, it's day one.
It's day one. I got a good night's rest. I woke up. I was downstairs at 3:15.
The car was out front.
I had the car out front, ready to go.
Yeah,
ready to go.
Bob? I feel awful, and I've had a headache since about hour two, and so it's been that has not been great. But I'm making it through. Ruben's been keeping me nice and hydrated, and so that's helped out a great deal.
I'm good right now. I know my limit just very well. Days I want to cut loose, I cut loose. Days I know I got to wake up at 3 a.m., I wake up at 3 a.m. Sitting down with us right now, one of the stories of the offseason. I think he had the number one moment of training camp when he kidnapped someone's child after the Dak interception. Kair Elam on the fan cam, Twitch, and YouTube with a sweet hat as well. Good morning, man. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning. Good morning.
Are you an early morning guy? How'd they convince you to be our first guest?
No, I was already up at 6. I left at 6, so yeah, I'm a morning guy.
Have you heard us this morning be loud? Have you heard us talking?
Nah.
Okay,
that's good.
That's been a 15-year problem here.
They got the music playing. And
whoever is controlling that?
Yeah, Slow Jams.
That's my stuff.
Yeah,
oldies right there. What were they just playing, Bobby?
They were playing Benny King, Stand By Me.
Oldie but goodie, yeah.
Yeah, so, good stuff.
Do you like oldies? Okay. You want to start with the good news or the bad news for with our co-host? All right, so good news?
Yeah, no, bad news.
Oh, bad news.
Bad news.
Oh, eat my vegetables first. You're saying that's a bad thing.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
All right. So you're not a vegetable guy.
No, some vegetables, some not.
All right. The bad news is you are sitting next to someone who despises your university in the SEC.
That's right.
Tennessee Volunteer RJ Choppy.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I think we did beat you once in your time there. Maybe.
The Gators
I ain't never lose to Tennessee. Not when I was there.
The Gators on your hatred SEC scale, where and why?
Well, I was there in the 90s. They were number one. That was like the rivalry, right?
Because they were the best.
Well, it was us and that. The only two teams that won the SEC when I was there was Florida and Tennessee. It was Florida.
Understand.
It was Florida.
Who were your coaches and quarterbacks there?
Dan Mullen. Same as Dak. He had him at Mississippi State, but
yeah.
Dan Mullen was my head coach for 3 years.
And quarterbacks?
Quarterback was we had Felipe Franks. He got hurt, and then Kyle Trask took over. He played amazing. He got drafted in the second round. And then my last year were Emory Jones and Anthony Richardson. Those were my last year.
And Anthony was...
He was the backup. He didn't play.
Okay.
He had low packages.
Could you tell he was a freak in practice?
Yeah. So when I was a freshman playing in a bowl game for practice, he was still in high school. He had just early enrolled, and nobody knew who he was. And he went to practice one day as a scout team quarterback and just, like, ran over a few people. Yeah. He had, like, a cannon for an arm. It was like, oh, we found out real fast who that was.
Who's the bigger physical freak, Anthony Richardson or Joe Milton?
Ooh. See, they both great in their own ways, you know what I mean? Obviously, they're all developing into going to be stars when they get the opportunity again. But, I mean, I feel like they both great in their own ways, to be honest with you.
What a great political answer.
Yeah.
Now the good news, your car in your IG profile.
Yeah.
Choppy's a Fast and Furious fan, so I asked him to look up that. What type of car is that?
That's a Lamborghini.
Ooh.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's not my car, though.
Is that yours?
No.
You can't post someone else's car.
No.
It's a hell of a waste.
It's like $750,000, man.
Whose car is it?
I don't know who car that is. That's just something that...
That's your dream car. That's what you're aspiring for.
You can say that. I mean, I love the car, but, you know, that's not my car. It's such a deeper meaning behind that one.
So I'm curious, you know,
what is the deeper meaning?
We're going to see.
Okay.
All right. you're a sports car guy over big SUV, truck, whatever.
Yeah, I have a truck and I have a sports car. I have two cars, but I mean, I'm not into speeding. Like when I was younger, you know, you want to see what the car can do and all that. But you're gonna get there when you get there.
Yeah, you went to Florida,
even if I'm
not Georgia.
I'm gonna get there when I get there.
That's right.
Yeah, so yeah, it's too many incidents. And then Florida, where I'm from, they just passed like a super speeding law. Like you can't go over 100 more than once, or you go like so. I mean, I'm not. It's no point in speeding no more. So. I mean, I love the sound of it, though. But
do you rev under a bridge?
Nah. I don't mature, man. I don't mature.
Kyrie Irving joining us here on 105 Through the Fan. You got traded here this offseason, and it was really interesting. We talked about it at the time. Right afterwards, Brandon Bean, I think it was, had spoken to the media, and he had been like, man, nobody works harder than Kyrie. We think he just kind of needs a change of scenery, and then that he's going to be able to flourish. Did you feel similarly leaving Buffalo? Did you feel like, hey, really all I need is a reset, and I'm going to find my footing and get where I want to be?
I feel like earlier on when I was in Buffalo, I got discouraged. You know what I mean? Because I was always successful. My hard work always like paved the way for me, and you know, just sacrifices just always paved the way for me to be successful, right? So going into Buffalo, like I had the same expectations. So like I not earning a starting job, like it was tough pill to swallow my first my first year or two. But then my third year, like I feel like I did everything the right way, you know, like performed the right way leading up to earn the starting job or whatever, still didn't get it, whatever. So, you know, just trying to stay ready, but also like being inactive for so long, it was kind of like, you know, I'm starting to grow, like believing in myself and like just saying screw it, like I'm still him, like I still can play this game. It's just I just need like some different eyes looking at me, you know what I mean? So I continue to put my head down and work, you know what I mean? So, you know, God got the rest.
You have so many tie-ins to the organization in terms of, you know, your dad Abram had played here two different times. I know he also played with the Jets where Brian Schottenheimer's there. You were a Florida guy. Schottenheimer's a Florida guy. And so, I mean, there are these different connections here for the area. Was there a sense of familiarity coming into this situation, even though it was new? Was it like this is kind of the best of both worlds? It's comfort, but it's also a little bit of a reset? Familiarity?
No, I wouldn't say that. It was still, everything was still new, but I was excited, you know, for the opportunity. Like I said, I've never met Coach Schottenheimer until I got here. I've never, you know, met like majority of the guys, maybe when I was maybe like a baby, maybe probably. but no, I never had a relationship with those guys. So it's just a blessing to be able to meet them and start to build this relationship so we can go win. That's it.
What were some of your like earliest, most special NFL memories and moments traveling around with your dad? Yeah. Was there a player you were just dying to meet? Was there a memory that kind of first pops in, whether it be Cowboys or other?
Yeah, I remember being here in Dallas. I was a kid, man. That was 2000. My dad's first stint here was like 2006 to 2007 season. So I was probably like five. So I remember being, you know what I mean, in Arlington. Was that for the new stadium? I'm not sure if that was the new stadium.
That was
but
old.
I remember being at the stadium previously. I remember taking a picture in Roy Williams' locker, the receiver here. So I remember a little, few things, but not like too detailed. Yeah.
Which heat is worse between Texas and Florida?
It's two different ones because Florida, that humidity is bad.
Yeah.
Man. As soon as you step outside, you start to feel like musky and sweaty. And then, and then here, it's just like you just like bake from the inside out, like a cookie or something, like in the oven. So, I mean, they both sneak up on you. But, I mean, nah, I think the Texas heat sneaks on you worse, though, because it's just you just baking, though. But. Yeah, it's like I compare. It's like a sauna, and a, like a steam room. Mm-hmm. Like Florida's a steam room. Here's the summer. They still bad. But I think Texas sneak up on you more.
It is an oven. All right. Now, from while we're out here, this weather or the Buffalo training camp weather?
Oh, this one for sure. This one for sure. For sure. Yeah. This one's what. Yeah.
Are the Buffalo wings that good?
Yeah.
What's different about them? I'm
not gonna lie. I swear to you, I didn't believe in that when I first got. I was like, bro, there's no way wings could be better. You know, in Buffalo, like I just thought it was a myth because, like, how can they be better? Like, you know what I mean?
They're chicken wings.
They're
hot sauce.
I mean, everybody gets the same from the same mass producer of chicken. So, like, where, like, how could the wings be that much better? Like, they use a different sauce or something. But then I tried it, and I'm not going to lie, they have the best wings I've ever had.
Is it the meat or the sauce or both?
I couldn't even tell you. They are the best wings I've ever had in my life. Buffalo is legit.
So Buffalo wings in Buffalo.
Yeah.
Or barbecue in Texas. What is the better food delicacy?
I can't eat the same thing all the time, you know, so I crave different things. So it just depends on what you're craving at the time, to be honest with you.
Man, you're a good politician. He don't want to insult that Texas barbecue.
Hey, man. You know, I just
he
just
learned from his
truth.
Dad.
Just telling the truth. Just telling the truth.
Kyrie Elam right here on the fan.
Have you had yourself a brisket sando yet?
Yeah. Hutchins barbecue's amazing.
You should try her Tata.
You gotta tell me where to go. You gotta tell me where to go. I've been to Hutchins a few times. It's really good.
Kyrie Elam joining us here on the fan. So one of the things you talked about when you got here was you had made a reference to the culture here and how just strong you feel like it is. And that's been a big point from Brian Schottenheimer since he got here.
Facts.
I guess just talk about what feels different here and what kind of role and importance do you think culture plays on field success?
I mean, it's style over scheme. And that's something that's preached from the top down. You know, Coach Schottenheimer and Coach Eberflus, you know what I mean? Just from the top down, like, we can call anything, you know what I mean? As long as we're playing to our standard, you know, we can line up and compete with anybody. Coach effort first. You always got to be full speed to the ball, you know what I mean? No matter what, you know what I mean? Hypothetically, a guy can bust a play, sprint to the ball, go punch it out, and then he's a success. You know what I mean? It went from the no-no to a yes-yes. So, you know, stuff like that. So, you know, we coach effort first. And you know, guys are always flying around, running to the ball, being physical. Like, we coach that first. So, you know, that's what I'm trying to stay consistent with every day, along with technique, you know what I mean? So, it's been a blessing, man. It's just been continually just trying to stay a consistent dog for the team. That's all I'm trying to do.
Everyone is thrilled and excited over having George Pickens here now. Give our fans and listeners a little idea of what it's like lining up against him with his skill set and game.
Yeah. George and CeeDee are two different receivers. They are two different receivers, you know what I mean? But I think CeeDee being along with George is going to help each other out because you can't double both of them. You know what I mean? You're going to have to line up and you're going to have to – you know, man on man. So I feel like George is, like, he's going to be, God willing, he has all the tools to be a great player, like a great, I mean, not saying he's not already, but even better than what he's shown in the past, just because, you know, that's going to give him opportunities. And they're two different receivers, and I feel like he has all the tools to be, like, very successful.
When did you decide that you were going to pick up the young fan and celebrate with him? At what moment of practice did you eye that out
As soon as I seen him, like, as soon as I caught the pick, I turned, I said, oh, yeah, it's his time.
So as soon as you saw him after catching the pick?
I swear to God. As soon as everybody's like, was that planned? I was like, nah, that was not planned, man. That was just, we locked eyes, and I said, oh, yep.
Because you seem like a reserve guy right now, then boom, that's like the whole team, you know, the Simba references.
Yeah.
I thought that was the best moment of camp so far, showing like the unification of everyone too.
You know,
along with like Overshown running down the sideline after Malik's pick.
Yeah.
So that was a cool thing.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Hey, Overshown looks healthy, right? He looked healthy.
He said that was about 70%, and he still looked healthy. He's my favorite personality so far on the team. No offense to you. It's just energy. Who have you become tight with personality wise so far early on?
All the DBs, for real. I would say when I first got here, Wanye, Dak reached out to me when I first got here. Like, it was just pretty cool to see, like, you know, guys were, you know, trying to, like, reach out to me. You know what I mean? Because when I first got here, like, my goal was to just, like, I'm not gonna introduce myself to nobody. Like I'm a show. I'm gonna just continue to work how I work and let you know, guys, you know, see that and want to gravitate towards me. You know.
Yeah.
So it was pretty cool to see. You know what I mean? Just because I feel like you have to build a brotherhood to go win. You know, so I feel like guys understand that.
Hey, man, we appreciate you. You are our first guest of training camp.
I appreciate that.
And keep it up. You've been one of the exciting storylines of the entire offseason. Keep crushing it, and we'll see you later on today.
Thank you, man. I appreciate you guys having me.
Thank you. Kair Elam sitting down with us here in the Wild Fork Foods hot seat. WildForkFoods.com, elite game day grilling favorites. Let's sit down with our guy. You guys make up, Choppy?
Oh, yeah.
Hang on. I caught you in a bad handshake.
Oh, yeah.
All right, there you go.
He gave me a go balls on the way out.
Oh, he gave you a go balls?
The great Will Chambers text. He goes, the SEC is a wild place. He went undefeated against Tennessee, but 500 against Kentucky in football. Go figure.
How does that happen?
SEC, man.
What and why did Jerry Jones say that yesterday? Nick Eatman, DallasCowboys.com after this. Who is that running back, Nick Eatman, that you're emulating on the fan cam?
I was saying Gale Sayers, but it's going to be a Super Bowl player because this is like Super Bowl VIII, and then Larry Zonka with the ball.
He is Nick Eatman sitting down with us for the first time live in Oxnard 2025 from DallasCowboys.com, brought to you by the Windstar World Casino and Resort. Proud to be the casino of the Dallas Cowboys. Please game responsibly.
That was a good job, by the way. Super Bowl VIII was the Dolphins with Larry Zonka. He just called that off the top of his
MVP
head.
Too.
Well done. Wow.
But I've been told that, you know, RJ over here is the guy that would battle me on Super Bowl stuff.
I'm pretty good at random.
Yeah.
Who's in what?
Me too.
Yeah.
I'm really good until like the last 5 years, and then I'm like, I don't know.
I used to be able to do like every Heisman from like 80 on. And then, like, it just, I think it, like.
Yeah, me too.
I can't remember. Probably at Charles Woodson, I just stopped caring.
He stops. Yeah.
Did you see what Jerry said about Micah yesterday?
Oh, man. Which, I mean, well, I was standing over there for a little bit of that time when he was interviewing with all those, which station?
This is from Archer. Archer has.
Oh, no, then no. So Archer got him before he went to the car wash with all the.
So Archer asked Jerry about the fans, you know, yelling, pay Micah Saturday morning during the whole Oxnard address, blah, blah, blah. This is what Jerry said.
Okay.
Quote, I heard it light, but not compared to how I heard them say pay Lamb last year. That was a faint little sound compared to the way they were hollering last year, pay Lamb. Whoever's not in, you can count on a few hollering that, but it was a big loud chant last year on Lamb.
Oh.
Nick.
You know what's funny is here's what.
Please tell me what's funny.
Here's what I think is funny about that is when Jerry says I haven't talked to the agent, he's talking to the agent every single time he speaks. He's talking to Micah. He's talking to the agent. He did this with Zeke. He did this with Zach Martin. He did this with CD. This is what he does.
What is this saying to the agent?
That this isn't. I'm not phased. And he actually said this yesterday. The one thing that I did hear him say yesterday was, when you think about how long that we want to play this year, how long we want this season to go, how tough it's going to be. We know how tough it's going to be later in the year and how tough we hope to be. You know, it's going to be if we make it to the playoffs, that a few weeks, month or so here early in the season is not phasing me on. Do we have our guy here? I just think there's, you know, supreme confidence that he will be back and he'll be here and practicing and doing everything later on in the year. And I think when you see a guy like, you know, some of the injuries that they had yesterday, it probably doesn't hurt their feelings that their best player is not practicing right now. Doesn't need to practice right this second. But
are we de-emphasizing the importance of training camp?
For a guy that's going to go rush the passer, and we know exactly what his job's going to be, I think for him, but not for some of the others, you know, the continuity and all that.
Yeah,
I will say this though about Micah continuity, and I've said this before. I mean, it's not like he just plays one side and that's all he's got to do, and whoever's in right now will be out. He moves around so much that it does help to learn everybody's got to learn, all right, now I have to flip to this side, or I'm going to the middle because Micah's doing all these things. At some point, I think that will happen. But right now, I mean, we're not even into August yet. I think. I don't know.
It's going to drag on forever.
So when you hear this...
What's forever? Like, what do you think? Forever? Like, all the way through camp? All the way to the season?
No, I mean, I don't think it'll get to Sunday like Dax did.
This Sunday or NFL Sunday?
NFL Sunday.
Should be a Thursday.
It'll be... Yeah, right. Yeah, yeah. It'll be... I think that there's three markings. There's breaking here, and then Thursday of week one, and then it's franchise tag day. I don't think I do think that there's a possibility that he would love to usurp the Eagles ring ceremony.
Yeah,
with the contract signing.
When you hear these Jerry comments, you just throw it into the basket, or are you like, that one went over the line? Like, that is really insensitive when he's like, yeah, I heard a little bit of it, but, you know, it wasn't.
That's
it
weak.
Wasn't, yeah, it was weak. It's not as important as CD. I mean, that's what he tried to say in his comments there.
I think what he's saying is, I've heard this before. This isn't phasing me. You said you did it with CD. You've done it with other players. You definitely did it with Zeke, and we'll get it done when we get it done. I'm not going to be bullied by that. You know, and I think that you saw that. I saw somebody tweeted at me, when are the Cowboys going to finally have some foresight and get ahead of these contracts? And it was just like, you're responding to a tweet that they signed
Ferguson,
and everyone feels like Ferguson's going to have a really big year. I don't know about everyone, but I think they do. And this is one where, you know, maybe they don't wait until he gets 80, 90 catches or something like that.
Do you think, and we're talking to Nick Eatman here on 105 Through the Fan, do you think that they are banking on more with Micah than anybody else, that like he wants to be here or he wants to be a Cowboy, and that's so associated with all of his branding and the awareness he has of that? We can lean on that more than we have in other negotiations.
That is a good question. I have not thought of it that way. But I think, but you're right, though. What you see is, we haven't really seen the guy actually here. I mean, everyone loves Zach, including myself. I mean, Zach wasn't even here. Mm-hmm. You know, CD wasn't here. So he's here. He's a part of it. I don't think he's being a bad distraction. I mean, I don't think so. I think he's just kind of sitting around and hopefully, you know, listening to some of the calls and understanding what Flus is trying to do. But I think what you're saying is... I mean, I guess what you're asking is because he's all that, he's doing all that, that they can maybe negotiate this even more.
They feel like he will blink quicker because they like he will not be apart from us.
I think there's something to be said for that, and what RJ just said about the three different levels. There's going to be one somewhere in between the first game and now, or when we break camp in that first game. Because he's mentioned it before about, you know, he talked to CD and CD says he was so rusty and I don't want to be like that. And CD said it when he was here. So I think that there's something about him wanting to make sure that there's got to be a clock in his head of like, all right, if I get back at this point, I can ramp myself up. Because the last thing he wants to do is get out to any game and play and suck and not be Micah Parsons, because then the price tag goes down every time.
Were you surprised that Ferguson got the extension yesterday, and what did you think of it?
Well, basically what I was thinking was, okay, so this isn't my wife texting me at 7 o'clock or 7:45. I thought, okay, this is probably her. You know, how's it going? And I looked at him, it was like, Ferguson. And I was like, what? You know? And so so that's what I thought. I thought, wow, okay, I'm not dreaming. I have to wake up and work now. But I like it. I mean, I like the move. This is interesting because the tight end room is very, I don't know about very deep.
Yeah.
They just have a lot of...
They have a lot of guys they like.
They have a lot of guys they like. That's a great way to say it. And of course, Spanford gets hurt in the first practice afterwards. But to Ferguson's point, I mean, I think he's a guy that they feel like is going to have a really good season. They just think he's going to catch a lot of passes with the way, you know, they got Pickens and CD on the outside, and they're going to try to run the ball and all this, how many times have I seen a the bootleg, play action bootleg, that tight end right there? That's going to be Ferguson a lot. And it was Novacek way back when. And, of course, it was Witten as well. So I think that they just feel like he's going to have a big year. They kind of wanted to get ahead of it. And he was willing to take that, you know, because that's part of it, too. You're like, no, I'm going to have a huge year. I can make more than that. So it's just got to, you know, got to meet in the middle there.
Give us a weekend recap of practice. What stood out to you?
Well, I mean, not because he was here. I mean, but I thought that the play with Elam, I mean, that was one of the coolest plays I've seen in a long time. That was fun. It kind of brings back, you know, the purity of it all, too, with the fans there, getting the fans involved, and, you know, some dad just saying, yeah, sure, take my kid. you know. That poor kid didn't know what was going on, you know. But that was like, when you think of the highlight, that was a cool play. But you know, I like from what I like to see on the field. I mean, I like that it's not really just one way. You can't just say, man, the defense is you know, kicking there. No, the offense is, you know, they'll come back to you. That's kind of what you want out of a true practice. You want both sides to cut. Yeah, I got this day. So Dak, you know, I think Dak, he's never been the best practice player. He never has out here, but I see some picks and stuff here and there. The offensive line is still a little bit worrisome to me. That's the one where you know, and I think Eberflus's defense is very, very aggressive. We're seeing it here and picking up blitzes and picking up, you know, the stunts and all that. That's going to be the challenge. They got a ton of options on the offensive line, but that combination and all that, I'm just curious how it's all going to play out.
It's been obviously the top line all offseason about culture and what they want and competitiveness and everything like that. When you've been out here watching these practices, is there a noticeable difference to the tone or the atmosphere of practice from previous years, or is it just no? It's at the end of the day, it's basically these are training camp practices.
I think the first part of practice, you know, that we see is very, very spirited. What's interesting to me is that there's a lot of this kumbaya, you know, a mantra here, but we've seen more fights already than we've seen in a lot of camps combined. Now, nothing nasty here. We're not talking about Colombo versus Ratliff, but I mean, you know, if you were at training camp in San Antonio, you would remember that one. That was probably one of the worst ever. But what? Nothing like that.
05? Oh, no.
9?
I think 09. God,
you were way off on those.
I was way off.
Goodness. Yeah, yeah. That was when they were here. Well, it could be 07. Could be 07. They were training. They were in San Antonio 7 and 9. But it's just very intense. It's an intense practice. That's that's what Shoddy is. You know, he's man. I wish we could give you the mic'd up version of what we got him mic'd up, and we had to, you know, put a nice little package together. But the stuff on the floor, like, man, that was good. And I think fans would love to see it. I mean, he is not afraid to get after the players. He is not afraid to get after his coaches. And it was fun to kind of watch him that way, because he seems like he's got a really good balance. He's got a great balance with the media. He's got a great balance kind of with the players. He's winning the offseason. We know that doesn't matter at all when you get to the season. But, man, he's doing everything right now.
Thank you, brother. We look forward to it again on Wednesday, and we'll see you later today.
Good to see you back here.
The great Nick Eatman. Peyton just texted me. He's putting up the YouTube numbers again.
Oh, baby.
920. Carrying 920. Gale Sayers. Carrying that football. Nick Eatman, DallasCowboys.com. Brought to you by the Windstar World Casino and Resort. Proud to be the casino of the Dallas Cowboys. Please game responsibly. Has KNC seen the Luka picture? Crosstalk is next.
The pitch is hit back up the middle and through into center field. Garcia scores. Langford coming home. Carter makes it to third. It's a two-run single for Josh Young, and the Rangers now lead 7-1.
Six straight. Hixie with the call. Can it be seven straight tonight in Los Angeles? Well, we don't have to stay up late for this game here.
Well, no, we don't, because it's a regular. It'd be like a 7 o'clock start for us.
Yeah.
But I guess that is probably late for when we want to go to bed.
Yeah.
Right? Because it's out here so early.
It's Crosstalk with the KNC Masterpiece here on 105.3 The Fan, and I only see Corey Majors. Good morning, Corey.
What's going on, Sean? How are we doing out there?
Doesn't work on this computer.
Hmm.
You don't use your own computer ever?
No.
It's plugged in.
Whose name on here is Brisket Sando, and who is AA Sucks, and what is AA Sucks? Is that like Alcoholics Anonymous Sucks?
No, that I don't think that is accurate.
Have
I would
a
say
Brisket Sando yet, Rowdy?
I would. Oh my gosh, I would say American Airlines should not delay your flight by 3 hours right when you're getting to the airport. It is very inconvenient. And then they're like, oh, yeah, sorry about that.
Wait, oh, this is you guys on the way back?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was rough, man.
So
3 hour delay.
Yeah, and I ended up, I mean, it wasn't the end of the world, but like.
I got home about 2:30.
Yeah, I got home at like 1:45.
Yeah, it was rough.
A.M.?
Yes.
Yeah. Ugh.
Yeah, I didn't, I actually got home, reestablished dominance in the house.
Oh,
what does that mean?
Just let everybody know I was there.
I think Corey might have your crown of the most toxic masculine person in the building. I love the way he just reasserts himself, puts the hammer down.
I mean, occasionally I'll just, if I want to win a fight. Because
you're toxic masculinity on the air, but I know you're not at home, and I feel like Corey is at home
and on the air. So if Sarah and I disagree, I'll just tell her sometimes, look, I'm stronger. We can have this fight if you want to.
My God.
No, you said you bought her.
I did buy her. $76. That was the marriage license.
Yeah.
$76,
man. Holy moly.
Pretty good value. Pretty good value. It's worth like 80 today.
But I never went to sleep after that. I never went to sleep. I reestablished my dominance and then was like, by waking people up and letting them know that I was there, Kevin, I don't know what you're doing.
Why didn't you just let them sleep?
Because
that's illegal.
Yeah. He walked in the room with his turkey leg.
Let them know.
Flintstone feet.
And then
tank top.
I never went back to sleep, and I didn't go to sleep until midnight Saturday night. So I was cruising for a while. So I'm rolling here, guys.
Well, boo-hoo over your little three-hour delay.
Yeah.
Okay? Mm-hmm. We doubled that and went to Canada.
That's right.
You went to Canada?
Ontario.
Yeah, we went to Ontario, CA.
Cool.
Good for y'all. No.
Six-hour delay, man.
Did they ask you for your passport?
No.
Like in the air?
That's good. Because you'd be like, I wasn't.
Although this is almost not America.
It's what? No, it was Ontario, California, and then a 2 hour drive. Choppy, he got us on basically the same time out, but it was a 6 hour delay for some reason. Yeah. Not cancellation, delay.
Right, and they're like, do you want to change your flight? No cost. And I was like, yeah, I do. Matter of fact, I want to change my flight. So we changed it, and we left 30 minutes later, and instead of going to LAX, we went to Ontario, wherever that is.
Oh.
And it was a 2 hour and 8 or 5 minute drive.
This is the first time you have not insulted. I felt like you were very complimentary towards RJ's driving. First time ever you were not.
Oh.
You weren't second guessing him.
Yeah, it wasn't.
You were like, California driving gave you an appreciation for Choppy. You're like, they don't know how to drive out here.
The
expert move. You were giving him a lot of compliments.
On a clinic. I moved 5 lanes in about 30 feet.
Yeah, and that was just I respected. That was Texas driving on California roads. It's like, y'all aren't ready for this. Like, you don't play in these waters. You don't understand what we do. And so, yeah, they're all just very like, sure, you need in? You need to? Or like, they wait for somebody to go, and then they sit there for like a second just be like, well, you got to wait. And like, this is in stop and go traffic. They will not just start going when the line starts moving. So, yeah.
There's way less accidents out here.
Way less accidents. Way less. Way less. There was a guy. We were like at stop and go. And I had, there was room in front of me, all right? Mm. I didn't want to hit the gas because I knew Bobby was about to throw up all over the place.
Yeah.
And there was a guy in this massive Suburban who had started to inch into the lane and then saw me there, and he just stops. And I'm like, if you have the bigger vehicle, you have the power.
Yeah.
And in any other state in the world, he's coming into my lane.
Mm-hmm.
This guy stopped. He genuflected to me, and I was like, I'm taking it. I'm going to take it, man.
Oh, my God.
If you don't want to take the lane, you have the higher authority here.
Yeah.
You're in the man vehicle, the big vehicle.
It's true.
You're the alpha.
Mm-hmm. There are fewer.
I'm in an Equinox, babe. I got nothing here.
We see fewer accidents. That's an alpha car.
We see fewer accidents, obviously. But, like, I mean, that's also
because it does. You cannot get up to past 40 miles per hour out here because you're on the highway. And you're like, oh, here's another traffic stop. It's it's Saturday at 2:30 in the afternoon, or it's, you know, Monday at 11:45 at night. It's the same traffic as 5 p.m. on
It really
Wednesday.
Is crazy. It's too many people.
Corey, what's coming up?
Guys, the Rangers are never going to lose again. And that's what I've been telling y'all for a while now.
Jinx.
So get ready. Saddle up, boys, because it's going to be a run. We're going to do that right out of the gate. Mickey joins us at 10:20. Now, and Bobby's joining us today.
Oh, my gosh.
I have a question for you. Did you end up getting your little play chart from Shoddy back, or did he walk off with that?
Oh, that was his play chart.
No, but the little like play he drew for you, or did he just pocketed it?
He took it. No, that was that was his. I gave him a roster to do it on, and he was like, no. And so he was like, I'm keeping this play. I'm not letting you have this play.
Because it's his favorite.
Yeah, so he
And
kept
why
it.
Did he say you're not going to like this play when he was drawing it?
I don't know.
I didn't understand that.
Maybe because it's a run play, and it wasn't something flashy like a oop-de-oop or something crazy like that, fishing ladders or whatever. Hook and ladder,
Did you say
Kevin.
Fish and ladder?
Yeah. We saw fish out there a lot.
He drew out the play and then he took the play. Like, we already have the play on video.
Yeah, I know. But
we got it.
It was cool. It was really cool that he drew that up though, and like I did like the level of pettiness of like the opponent. He remembers it specifically. I really enjoyed that. It was fun.
Tomorrow we'll have Jake Ferguson on the program.
Oh, whoa.
He's rich.
He is rich now.
He is rich now. Any of you disagree with the timing of it versus just letting him play it out, Kevin?
I mean, I don't understand the timing of it, but nothing to do with Micah. Just you're coming off an off year and you've been paid above slot. That's just confusing, but that does seem to be the way the Cowboys do business.
Yeah, that's kind of where I land on that, too.
Yeah.
It's just he wasn't great last year.
Yeah.
Yeah, even to start that, remember he had a couple penalties early, and I know he wasn't healthy most of the year either, but he wasn't great.
Like,
and then you're just like, nah, he's part of the thing. And now I'm starting to feel like they really do just love paying intangibles more than talent on the field.
What Micah really should have done,
like the quarterback,
is have a down year or get hurt. Then the Cowboys would have hustled to pay him.
Yeah.
It's players come off of good years that they're like, I don't know if you're going to be that good again.
But I've always admired the dude's toughness. I think that's a reality, and the attitude is just, I need the whole team to play with that kind of attitude if he's going to be that guy.
Did you guys see the Luka cover?
Yeah. What a B.
Nico was right.
What a what?
Kinda. Yeah, what a B.
Nico was right all along.
Because now he gets in shape because he got butthurt over getting traded. Mm. And I do kind of see Corey's point that he was like, I'm not going to get in shape, but now that you hurt my feelings, I'm going to go get in shape.
Like, you're never going to catch me.
Yeah. it is kind of ridiculous, but we've all had that kind of like come to Jesus moment for various things.
Most of the time whenever we've broken up with somebody or they've broken up with us or divorced. This is post-divorce body, right?
Yeah.
Is that what this is?
The cover of Men's Health. Of like, this is the second worst thing that you could have ever said happens after the trade. The first is winning the title with the Lakers. The second is, like, it sounds like a joke that you would make. Like, oh, she's going to end up on the cover of Men's Health magazine. He's on the cover of Men's Health magazine?
I know. Maybe they can lose in the second round of the playoffs this time.
Oh, I like it.
Wow.
Bobby, you going to allow this?
Yeah.
You going to allow this?
Yeah, like, I mean, this is the Hagee's been doing this. And so, like, I'm already numb to it. He's playing super fan.
Seriously, though, Bobby, I have a serious non-trolling question.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you think this is kind of a slap in the face to the Mavericks and Mavericks fans that now he's taking his physical fitness seriously?
I don't think it's a slap in the face to Mavericks fans. Mavericks brass, probably. But it's also a thing where, again, we talked about
Mavericks fans knew this day was coming anyway.
He was 26 here, and they were like, well, this is exactly the same person he's going to be for the rest of his life. Like, it was the most short-sighted, narrow, dumb interpretation of somebody's growth, like, possible, and I still think it's an all-time bad decision.
Amen. Amen, brother. Like, that's the thing with me. Like, you know, this is a shot. This is the Mavericks don't have. They never called him out publicly. The Lakers did, right? They called him out publicly. That is. They always said things behind the scenes. This is a shot at the Mavericks as an organization. from the sense that
You don't think they could command this,
right? The Lakers, when the Lakers say it, you're the LA Lakers. Like they could, the Cowboys.
Then how did you make the wrong move? If the Mavericks were never going to be able to get this done, why was
it
wrong?
The Mavericks didn't demand it enough. Well,
yeah, Chompy just said they don't have the gravitas or whatever to make it happen.
Well, the organization doesn't have, like Luke could say, well, you're the Mavericks. You've got one championship, and it was with a unicorn player. You know, I'm going to do things my way. But when he goes to the Lakers, it's like there's a standard. So that plays into it. But also, you know, the Mavericks never put the public pressure on him.
Kevin, Corey, I like what you guys are saying. If I'm a Mavs fan,
The Nico trio.
You're falling in line.
No, we're just not pandering to the fan base. We're like looking at individual standards and
pandering.
Pandering. Like the guy should have gotten in freaking shape.
Yes,
he should have gotten. Now you can still be mad at the trade, but
agreed.
It probably wasn't going to happen. And Bobby and RJ, I think, are questioning the leadership not making it happen. Me, Kevin, and Corey are holding the individual responsible. You're a professional athlete. You're maxed out. You should want a championship legacy. Do it yourself.
He should have. Yes,
like,
he should
freaking do it yourself.
But we're saying he would have.
He also
eventually he would have.
Even if he never did, he's winning a title at some point because he's that freaking good.
Maybe.
And they're morons.
Yeah, we're just saying.
I can't argue all that.
We're just saying he would have.
Corey Seager does things his own way. That's why.
Yeah, but you're also
morons.
Yeah, you're also giving him Dirk's heart and. Maturation, because Dirk started carrying his own dinner plates in with foil. That Luke was going to do the same thing.
I mean,
because they're both white Euros.
Yes, we have to lump them all together.
I mean, I think every single man on earth is different pre and post child. Like he had just had a baby for the first time. Like this is not about
the baby.
No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying like if you're granting like. No way that he, like, the core of him as a person can change. When we're talking about this is a guy who's so young, he just had his first kid even. Like, that seems incredibly cynical to me.
Men's Health Magazine, I can't believe it. Like, the worst thing would have been holding up the trophy on the cover of SI or ESPN the magazine or whatever exists. But Men's
Fitness
Health Magazine.
What medical journal will Anthony Davis be on next month?
We're back tomorrow with Jake Ferguson. The KNC Masterpiece is next.